It's a very familiar story. Perhaps you, like me, have been in churches on Palm Sundays in the past, and you've waved your cardboard branches, as the kids are doing, I think, next door. Or you've been in places where they've even had a donkey. There's a donkey, I think, at the moment in Winchester. There's certainly the one in my parents' town. It is a story that is important and familiar to a lot of us. It is very important that we learn and reflect on the stories of Jesus. And today, we're going to do that in a bit of a different way. We're going to do something slightly unusual. There was a great saint from Spain called Saint Ignatius of Loyola in the 16th century, and he encouraged us to use our imaginations when we read Scripture. There's a certain way of reading Scripture. And so this morning, I'm going to retell the story, as it were, but help us to use our imaginations. Because he suggests that if we use our imaginations to think about how it feels to be in that story, it's a way of us becoming part of the story. If we think about how it is to be there, what it would be like to feel, what it's like to be there, it's as though we can actually inhabit the story. Jesus' story becomes our own story. It's something not just that we know about and think about, but a story that we live. So I'll retell it, and I will focus on our five senses, on what we see and feel and hear, smell, taste even. And I'll set the scene by introducing these three main characters: the crowd, the two disciples who go and get the donkey, and Jesus. And I will then ask you which one of those perhaps you relate to the most. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we want your story to become our story. Help us this morning to become part of your story, to follow you more closely and love you more dearly. Amen. So it's the greatest Jewish festival of the year. Jerusalem, the holy city, is heaving with people. Imagine Manchester when United are playing City at home. Jews have travelled far and wide. Literally thousands of them are gathering in Jerusalem. It's hot, it's dusty, there's a lot of noise and hustle and bustle. And the crowd gathers around this ordinary man riding into the city on a donkey, or a young colt, as Luke calls it. He looks ordinary, but the crowd know he's not. The crowd know that this man is special. He's been performing miracles and speaking about liberating, incredibly challenging things for years. And he's got everyone talking, everyone excited. They're not just interested in him, they're expectant. They are thinking that maybe this man, this Jesus, could be the one, could be the Messiah they've been waiting for. There's something about him that makes them want to sing and shout. So they sing their ancient song, Psalm 118. They sing it aloud. They raise their voices. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Peace on earth. Glory in the highest. But the crowd, as any crowd is mixed. There are those that get swept along with what's going on. Perhaps they don't really fully understand. Maybe they're standing at a distance, a little bit removed, interested, observing, but not committing themselves. And there are Pharisees also in the crowd, leaders of the community that are not happy at all about what is happening. These are the people who like to keep order and stability, those who have something to protect, perhaps, something to safeguard. They are deeply unsettled. They try to get Jesus to do what they want, to keep the peace. Tell your disciples to keep quiet, they say to him. But no, that is never going to happen. Jesus says there is in our world a praise, an outburst of praise that can never be stopped. So take a moment and just imagine, what is it like to be in that crowd? Hear the noise, the voices around you, the singing, the shouting, the conversations going on. Imagine the heat and the pressure, maybe the smell even, of the bodies close together. How does it feel? What are you wearing? Are you carrying anything? How much can you see of Jesus? How close are you to the action? And then there are his close friends, those two disciples who are given a job to do. They're happy to serve their master that they've known and loved for a while now. They're happy to serve him in whatever way he asks them. And he sometimes does ask them to do strange things. This time it's to go and claim a donkey, a young colt that's never been ridden, just to take it without asking. They're not so sure about the significance of the donkey, but as they go to collect it, they talk about that ancient prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah speaks of a king riding into Jerusalem, righteous and victorious. Is their teacher, their Jesus, this king? What would it mean if he was? Their sense of anticipation is acute. What does this coming week hold? Jerusalem is a dangerous place for them at the moment. Perhaps they would rather Jesus didn't draw attention to himself. So imagine yourself walking to collect that donkey. You're not alone. You have a friend with you. You're chatting away about what you're doing. Try and imagine what it feels like to follow those instructions of Jesus. The joy of seeing the donkey. It's obviously young, and it's standing there almost as though it's waiting for collection. Perhaps you want to imagine touching it, stroking it, smelling it, untying it, and then having that conversation with its owners, the conversation Jesus told you was going to happen. What does it feel like to lead that donkey away, to be heading back towards the others? That sense of accomplishment, of fulfillment. And then there is Jesus. Jesus, who is now sitting on the donkey, the central figure in the story. He slowly rides into the city he loves. It is most definitely a triumphal entry. It has all the marks of success, of popularity, of victory even. The singing, the shouting, the palm branches waving, and the cloaks being spread out before him. But Jesus' heart is heavy. He weeps over the city. He mourns over it as a parent mourns for their child gone astray. A few days before, he looked out over Jerusalem and he wept. Through his sobs, he cried, "If only I could gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you are so rebellious. You are so resistant. You run away from God, not towards him." As he looks now at Jerusalem, he sees clearly the destruction that is coming, the consequences of their action. And he thinks to himself, this is that deeply significant moment, that kairos moment. The time is running out. But Jesus chooses to enter in, to go into that city that is bent on destruction. He goes towards the people who are going to reject him. He rides into a place of suffering with a heart full of love. It may be hard, but perhaps we can imagine what it is like to be sitting on that donkey. We can put ourselves in the position of Jesus. We may never have ridden bareback on a donkey, but perhaps we can imagine it. What does it feel like? And what does it feel like to be the center of attention, for all eyes to be on us, to be in that position? We can perhaps imagine the mixture of emotion, joy, pain, the weariness of being misunderstood, the anticipation of what lies ahead. So, let's pause for a moment. Just think about those three characters that I have highlighted, and just reflect on where you might see yourself in this story. I'm coming closer, up close and personal. Are you one of the crowd, perhaps? You're joining in with the celebrations, going along with the others, part of what's going on. You come to church, you know Jesus, you know he is who he says he is. But maybe sometimes you feel a bit lost in the crowd. Maybe sometimes you feel a little disconnected, a little bit on the fringe. Maybe you are someone in the crowd who is observing, watching. You have a lot of questions. There's a sense of you holding yourself back a little. What would it look like to come closer in, to get more involved, to truly follow Jesus, to go where he goes, to do what he does? Or maybe you can relate to the Pharisees. You have a strong sense of discomfort. You feel deeply unsettled. You look at Jesus, and perhaps particularly at Jesus' followers, and there is just so much you don't understand. Perhaps there's a sense of fear inside you, or even pride. You see what others don't see. You see the bigger picture, maybe. You think that others are naive or too trusting. Or perhaps you relate more to one of those two disciples. You know Jesus well and you love him. You're happy to do what he asks of you. You're used to serving him. You trust him. He keeps his promises. Perhaps you feel like you're one of that inner circle, one of his close friends. But then you recognize your own vulnerability. You realize that you don't actually know what lies ahead. You don't know the trials and the testing that you might have to face. How are you going to react when Palm Sunday turns into Holy Week? When the cheers turn to jeers and the shouts of praise turn into shouts of rage? And what about Jesus? Perhaps you can see yourself in the position of Jesus. Are you weeping over a particular situation? Is your heart breaking over an area of pain and suffering? An area where we see the rebellion of God and the consequences it's caused? Might it be that you are called to be Jesus in that situation? Are you being called to take up your royal position as a child of the King, to somehow enter into that situation, to face it, to become part of it, to enter into it, but with grace and humility? Can you see yourself riding into that place or situation, knowing the victory of God, but also aware of the cost that may be required? At the end of this time of imagining, we simply ask Jesus what he would say to us. We see ourselves in the story, and then whatever position we're in, we imagine Jesus himself turning towards us and speaking to us. So, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say to you? He always speaks words of love. Wherever we see ourselves in the story, whether we're close to him or far away, he will always speak love, words of love to us. So we're going to take another moment now to do simply that, to ask Jesus in our hearts, what is it? What do you want to say to me this morning as I inhabit your story? So in this silence, ask Jesus to speak to you and think about how you will respond. Dear Jesus, as we head into Holy Week, may we hear your voice of love and have the courage to follow in your way. May we know more and more what it means to live your story, to be your people, and for you, Jesus, to be our Lord. Amen.